You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Wilson. I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to get the information, asking for more. But blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges. Flying co-pilot with me this evening is Katie Whalen, and she'll be bringing us the health and wellness report in the first part of the third hour. And we've got a really terrific show for you on this June 14th, 2015 edition. In just a minute, we're going to be joined by Bob Griswold, and we're going to be talking about a variety of issues related to your survival when the collapse comes, but in particular, how to resupply. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ted Brower, and he's going to be talking to us about the TPP and related issues. And in the final half hour of the show, we're going to be joined by my friend and colleague, Paul Martin. And Paul and I are going to be talking about the latest in Jade Helm. And if you've been up on my website today, you know how serious this is getting. We are indeed becoming an occupied nation as we see the rollout of troops in record numbers and record places. Things have just gone crazy. Anyway, our first guest is Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com, and he has a whole variety of survival supplies, services that he offers. We'll be talking to you about that as we go through this hour. So let's go to Tennessee and welcome my friend Bob Griswold. Bob, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening.
You know, Dave, it's always a pleasure to join you. I enjoy listening to the program, and even after I'm off the program this evening, you can be assured I'll be listening to your other guests because, so much is going on right now. We are living in historic times that we are seeing the death of Western civilization as we know it. And we're being, in every way, we are being compromised. A nation can be compromised. We're being compromised right now, and the majority of Americans are asleep. We don't even know it. You and I are of the approximate same age, and we remember that 50 years ago, if anybody had tried even promoting 90% of what they're doing today, they would be in prison. But today, Americans are asleep. They're at their entertainment, and they're content with their entertainment. And we see our nation slipping away from us, and it's a shame. But as I was thinking about this evening's program, I was wondering, what's the best way to approach it, and what to talk about, and to suggest to people. And I think you suggested it well: is resupply. If and when this happens, will you be able to resupply? What will you need to be able to resupply? And can you even do that? I was in the supermarket with my son the other day, my little 12-year-old, and we were going through, and I said, Josh, we just look at what's in our shopping cart. In Tennessee, they call them buggies. But, look what's in our shopping cart. We see abundance right now, but what happens when this goes away, which it will, or access to it is limited because of restrictions on cash or whatever? What we have at that moment is what we will have until the storm ends. And I'm afraid that a lot of people will find themselves in a situation, what I call the panic zone, where they realize there's only a few days worth of food in their pantry. They have none of the supplies that they need as far as medical, water filtration, food, the ability to talk to other family members outside the internet or their cell phones, and they're going to find themselves at the mercy of those who can provide those services at a great cost to them. And it's sad because right now we still have a moment of time to get ready for what is coming. I think you have done such a very good job with the Jade Helm thing, and it is just one facet of the attack on our freedoms that are coming. And I think it's a big attack, but it's just one thing. We see so many things attacking our freedoms today. We need to really pay attention. We need to take this time that we have and finish up, as I would say, building our arc of safety.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If you were to cast your vote for what is the most likely event or events that are going to take place with regard to bringing America to its knees and really serving to wake up the majority of people, albeit too late, what event or events would you point to?
Well, it's interesting because I was writing some notes down before the program of some of the things that why Americans should consider this resupply issue. The military, it's a huge issue. You know, the fighting military never wants to get about 300 miles ahead of the resupply military. And there's a reason for that, because once the fighting military gets out there too far, the supply lines get too long, and it's susceptible to a flanking maneuver where you can cut the supply lines off, and then the fighting military, the people who are actually shooting the guns and bombs and rockets and all that stuff, they cannot have their, you know, new bullets, new bombs, new food and all that brought to the front line. And so the 300 mile limit has been something that's been taught in war colleges for a long time. So I think we need to micro-analyze this on our part. What happens when those things aren't available to us? So here's some things that I was just thinking about. There is a war on cash coming right now, where cash is becoming the enemy. Now, there's several reasons for this. One, they know that if they can get away with cash, bank runs become almost impossible. You can't go take out of the bank a physical asset, i.e. paper money. It's just not there anymore. So that allows them to basically do a bail-in. It allows them to control how much cash you can have access to. It also, and this is what a lot of people don't think about, has rationing ramifications to it. Because we all know every purchase we make on a credit card or on a debit card or an EBT card or whatever is monitored. So what happens if this bird flu becomes far more serious? And this Thanksgiving, you want to go buy a turkey, but you've already bought one. That can be tracked. And all of a sudden, the clerk who's checking out says, "Ma'am, you're not eligible to buy this turkey. It shows on your card, your credit card, whatever form or method you pay, that you've already bought one, and you're not allowed to have another one." So the ability to resupply at that point becomes moot. You can't go to the grocery store and buy extra. You know, right now you can go to the grocery store. We were looking the other night when my son and I were there. You can buy like a dozen cans of chicken. Now we all know what's going on with the turkeys and chickens. You can go and buy it at a relatively reasonable price and stock that up. But if that goes much further and they abandon cash, they can control your purchase of how much of that commodity you buy, and you're not allowed at that point to stock up for the future. So you asked me this question. Here's just a few points. Like I said, the war on cash. We are in the doorstep of Russia provoking war. That's one point. We are in the doorstep of China provoking war. Now, the Spratly Islands thing, there's trillions of barrels of oil there. And our Navy and their Navy are down there right now contending over disputed territory. You get two powerful navies together, and that's kind of dangerous. We see a historic move of this ISIS and the ISIL moving into our country, moving everywhere, I mean, with just unbelievable atrocity. You know, they've threatened us. They threaten our military personnel in our country. They're threatening just even average Americans. They have, you know, Islam does have a 1,400-year history of violence. We have the threat of EMP from Korea or Iran, which could absolutely shut everything down in the United States. We have a bird flu that has killed over 50 million birds in this country. They've put them down. We see a mass die-off of bees. Fortunately, I have a friend, Ray, and he had brought me, setting me up with two hives. I had two hives die last year, and so he's setting me up with two new hives so I can get some bees on my property. But there's one thing, Dave, if you've ever gone on the internet and looked at we have one of the pictures on our ready-made resources website, that's actually my greenhouse and you know, a surrounding picture of my property. We grow lots of vegetation around here, lots of fruit-bearing, you know, food-bearing plants. This year, I don't think I've seen one honeybee, one hummingbird. That is unbelievable for around here. Normally, when spring comes, my trees are abuzz with honeybees. We've not seen one honeybee, not one. And they said this year 60% of the nation's honeybees died. We have, I think it's 60% of the food that you eat is brought to you by the benefit of what honeybees do. They pollinate. We see this historic drought in California, 1,200-year historic drought where the breadbasket of America is drying up. Our borders are compromised. Our financial system is teetering on absolute bankruptcy. We see contending systems coming about that are challenging the U.S. dominance, the dollar, the BRICS, and other things, the Chinese banking system. Jade Helm, what more do we need? I mean, you asked for one. I just gave you, I think, a dozen?
Yeah. I'm trying to catch my breath here. Just where do I insert the next question? Because I don't think there is any. So it could be any, all of the above, or combination thereof.
I have a question, Dave. My question is, how can Americans be so blind not to see what this represents? You know, in law enforcement or in any kind of investigative procedural thing where you name the agency, it's called peeling the onion. You peel a layer, it leads to another layer. You peel that layer, it leads to another layer. And each layer gets deeper and deeper into solving the problem. I mean, how many more layers do you need to peel back before the average American? And I know most of the people listening to this program are sitting inside right now going, you know, yes, I understand all this. But why are average Americans in drove right now just sitting there watching the absolute perversion on TV? You know, I was listening to Sheila Zielinski the other night, and it just absolutely just blew my mind. She was talking about people who are trans-abled. And I think, what the heck is trans-abled? And it's people who are in a normal body, working limbs, arms, legs, and everything like that, who feel like they should have been born disabled. So they're actually taking medical procedures to remove their arms and legs. Now, Dave, does that sound almost, comical on one end, but on the other side, just something you can't even grasp around your mind?
I have never heard of this, and it's bizarre.
I Googled it, and I couldn't believe it. I read it. It's on the internet. People who want to have their arms and legs cut off.
Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you this. There's definitely some psychological issues going on with these people, although we'll find a way to justify it and legitimize it like we do transsexual behavior, which is no more than disguised gender identity disorder that we used to label that as few as 5 years ago.
You know,
so, yeah, you're right on the money.
I grew up with the knowledge or the understanding that if I start cutting body parts off, a.k.a. the most recent celebrity that's been altered, when I start doing that's always, for thousands of years, has been considered a mental disorder. You don't start cutting your body parts off and call it normal. There's something wrong there. And to, you know, gender reassignment, whatever you want to call it, it's a sign of a very, very sick society. And it's not that those people, you know, haven't always existed, but the way our society is handling it is very reflective on where we're at. And society on a whole right now is just celebrating it. We're celebrating people mutilating themselves. It's almost makes your head explode. When the other night when I was listening to Sheila, my brain was ready to explode over it. I'd never heard of this before. And so you ask this question, you know, what do I think is going to be the next, nail in the coffin? Well, there's a dozen carpenters there nailing a dozen nails at one time. And it's hard to pick one thing. And so those are just a dozen things I picked off at the top of my head that didn't take much thinking. And so the question goes back to people that are listening tonight. What are you going to do when you cannot resupply, or when the government rations through capital control what you have access to? What are you going to do? See, right now, and you know, as a Christian person, I always believe that God is benevolent, and he always warns his people ahead of time. So right now, we have this moment in history, this short period of time, where we see our freedoms, our liberties being eviscerated. We see these tyrants, these communist Marxists, very evil people, moving against the freedom of people on a scale that we haven't seen since basically 1917. And yet it's far more effective than 1917 because they didn't have the advent, you know, the computer technology to track people. So this is unparalleled in human history, that everything we do has the ability to be tracked, regulated, and controlled. But right now, you can still go down to the grocery store and stockpile some extra food, medical supplies if you need them, which I think most people should have more than just Band-Aids and things in their medical supplies, because they're, you know, if we have to go back to maybe a pre-petrochemical society or a very limited petrochemical society, people have no idea what it takes to survive in that environment. Fortunately, you know, for the last 5 years, my wife and I have, there's a historic park where we live. It's called Fort Loudoun, and it's a reenacting park where people go and they do reenacting of what it was like to live in the frontier of America in the 18th century, you know, 1756, the French and Indian War era. My wife and I actually take part in that. We actually are part of the reenactors, and it has been so beneficial for Roxanne and I to go there and actually, you know, engage in that whole mentality and culture, because it's like I had no idea how harsh it was to live without the conveniences we take so for granted in this country. It's just like I ask people, one of the things I've learned in medical, for medical supplies that people might need to buy and might not be able to resupply in the future. The number one death rate for women in the 18th century, most people would say pregnancy, and that's a pretty good guess. And it was number two. That was the second reason most women died in the 18th century. The number one reason, fire. They were working with grease, bacon fat. They were working with flour. They were working with, you know, fluffy clothing. And they were working near fire. And we have no idea what happened when women would, and literally, their clothes would ignite, and it was very brutal and painful. And but how many Americans have a fire extinguisher in their house? How many Americans have the ability to treat more than just a slight blister? These are things we need to be thinking about, because if the power goes off, how are you going to cook your food? How are you going to heat your home? You might be fortunate enough, as we do, to have a wood-burning stove in our house, which, you know, is very good. And if you can put one of those in your home, I would strongly recommend it. If you have access to firewood or coal, put one of those in your home. You can cook on it. You can heat your home with it. But what would you do if medical supplies were limited and somebody in your family was burnt? How would you treat it? So that's why I'm saying, Dave, you know, have more than just what most Americans have in, as far as medical supplies in your home. Be ready for a more serious type injury, and get those supplies now, because I.
Well, I would never have thought of the fire extinguisher issue. Of all the prepping supplies, most of them are right in the forefront of my brain, but this is something I hadn't considered. But you're exactly right.
Home Depot, $60. You can buy a nice fire extinguisher. Get several of them. Be able to deal with a fire. Because if you can't, once a fire gets uncontrolled, you know, a grease fire in a kitchen. And if you're going back to where you have to cook in more rudimentary methods, bacon fat and those things were very heavily used. And, you know, before they had the advent of petrochemicals, and you could go down and buy your favorite Pam or spray stuff or whatever you do, You need to be able to deal with those issues. And so the acquisition of these products now are very, very reasonable. But we all know what happens once a need is determined. Case in point, the bird flu. A company I deal with, and we work with them regularly, it's called Augustin Farms. You can go to their website. A month ago, a bucket of eggs from them were $159 or so. Do you know what they are today? They're almost $500.
Oh my God.
So once, see, this is the thing, and I think a lot of people wait for this. It's in our nature not to want to spend money. We'd rather spend money on things that are fun, or, you know, go out and get a houseboat and go on the lake and fish and whatever. But, you know, once the need is determined and society in mass realizes this need is there, you will not buy it from ready-made resources. You will not buy it from, you know, any of the other people out there that are providing these services. It will not be available. In mass, those products will be gone off the market because we have a on-demand food system in this country. It's designed to provide at the current rate, at the current consumption. If in mass people determined that, let's just say eggs or whatever the product is, might not be available in the future, and in mass people go down and try to buy even an extra day or two, the system can't handle that. I mean, New York City has a half a day's worth of food, and it's inside the city limits. So that food supply would quickly disappear. And then it goes back to the original question. And in peripheral consideration about tonight's program, that was the question I feel like I was inspired to ask people. Can you resupply? It's a paramount question. It's a question that you will face one day, I believe, in America as we see these, I call them judgments of God or even stupidity of man or whatever you want to label it, as we see it affect every aspect of our life. Can you resupply?
Yeah, Bob, we're going to hold it right here on the resupply question. We're going to return to that. We're going to step aside for a very brief set of messages, and then we'll return and we'll talk more about resupply. Stay with us, folks. We're going to be gone just for a second. I want to talk to you about my friend Pat Wood and his new book, Technocracy Rising. And oh, is it? It's really foretelling the times that are coming, much the same that Pat has foretold the times that we're living in. And Technocracy Rising talks about the changing economic structure that's going to follow the collapse, talks about the evils of transhumanism. And I think it's one of the most important books of our time. And the way that you acquire this book, an autographed copy of this book for Common Sense Show listeners only, is to go to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com. You'll see the blinking ad right there at the top, Technocracy Rising, Patrick Wood. Click that on, and he's got a special deal for Common Sense Show listeners. It really is one of the most important books of our time, and you're going to want to go there. Also, speaking of the Common Sense Show, I encourage everybody after the show to go up there, and if you have not signed up for our newsletter, we are getting rave reviews and great praises and thanks from people saying it is so convenient to get the content of your website sent to us in a convenient email. And we offer that. Your email goes nowhere but to the secure server who provides our service. And I would encourage you to do that immediately following the show. Well, our guest in this first hour is ReadyMadeResources.com, Bob Griswold. And Bob is talking to us about after the collapse, actually during the collapse, will you have the ability to resupply? Bob, let's take it from there.
First of all, Dave, I want to mention something. You know, I've been following your program for a couple of years now, and there's on the, and I know you would never do this, but I really have to say I am very much informed by the latest articles you post there. And having run a business – is much like running a website. It's a labor of love, but it's also a labor. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of hard work. And on your website, on the right-hand side towards the top, there's a thing that says Donate to the Common Sense Show. I would really encourage people, knowing what it takes to run a business, knowing what it takes to manage a website such as yours, to go up there and click that button. And I just want to say, Dave didn't put me up to this, and he probably, it's coming out of left field right now, but I'd go click that Donate to the Common Sense Show button and help support this, because you're not going to get this information from the Giggling Blonde Network, excuse me, that's Fox Network. You're not going to get this information from a host of other websites. You know, we in the community, which considers ourselves to be aware of what's going on, are dependent upon people who really expose themselves tremendously. And you know, it is something to be on the front line. I mean, you know, when the government's a big hammer and you're a nail, you don't want to be the one sticking up. And I have to say, Dave, you're willing to be the nail that sticks up, and so it's something to say. Yeah, you know, a lot of people should say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, but you know, like Ben Franklin said, we either hang together or we hang separately.
Well, that's for sure. And you know, while America right now is watching their famous or fabulous or whatever person dribbling, running, bouncing a ball up and down a court while they lose their country, I know people that are tuned in tonight realize that the gravity of what we're facing. And you know, Dave, I'm approaching 60 years old. I've lived the majority of my life, but I have children, I have grandchildren, and I have to think of the country that we're leaving to these psychopaths in charge. When I just look at the political field today of, you know, what you would call, you know, leaders, I had to choke that word out. I look at my country and I think, these are the people that are going to be governing when my children are, you know, grown and trying to make a living and trying to live free and trying to do what they want to do and express themselves the way they want to express themselves. And as we see this police state come in more and more, I think it's going to be harder and harder for our progeny to enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that we've grown up with. So I want to say thank you for your website and the guests that you have on, not so much myself, but the other people I definitely enjoy listening to. I've listened to Steve on your program, Steve Quayle, and I've been always enjoy having him listening to. But so again, going back to that thing, it's a labor of love on your part, I know, and I just really encourage people to support where they're getting fed. So I appreciate that.
Well, let's go back to the topic of resupply, because this is going to be the major challenge, and if people can't meet that challenge, they're going to be on the streets doing what they can do to resupply.
You know, Dave, we've talked about that book, and I really encourage people to get it and read it. It's called The Savage Continent by Keith Lowe. You can go on Amazon and type it in. And what the book is about is World War II, after it had ended, Germany and Italy from 1945 to 1948. The factories had been bombed out. The roads had been bombed out. The manufacturing process was gone. And the struggle for daily existence in a society like that. Now, that's exactly what EMP would do. That's exactly, if war comes to our soil, what it would do. We've never lived with rationing. I do remember my grandfather and grandmother talking about the little ration cards, how much butter you could get. Tires were almost unavailable during the World War II. I mean, there were so many commodities that had gone into the war effort that it was very difficult to get products during World War II, and you had little ration cards, little ration stamps you had to go and give to get your daily or weekly or whatever was allotment of the commodity, butter, ham, meat, whatever. And so we have forgotten that those things happened. We're ignorant of history, and as they say, we're probably doomed to repeat it. So while, again, you can get those things, while you can buy them, I mean, if this bird flu gets much worse, I could easily see seeing rationed eggs. We see some stores right now saying you can only buy 2 cartons. I read a story where they limited 2 cartons of eggs per person. So, again, what will you do when, if the bird flu does get worse and you cannot buy poultry products, anything that comes from poultry products? And keep in mind, most cake mixes, pancake mixes, all those things have egg product in it, freeze-dried egg product or egg dehydrated egg product in them. And all of a sudden you see a limited availability, or the price starts reflecting the scarcity of that product. If you buy it now, go down to the store and buy it now, you can actually experience a capital gains. This is one thing my accountant told me, without having to pay a capital gains tax, one of the few things. Because, it, case in point, my wife and I had bought several gallons of olive oil years ago, and it was like $19 a gallon for organic olive oil, organic cold-pressed olive oil. Well, today, you go to the same store, that same oil and the same can is $35. And so my ability there, my dollar, will not go near as far today as it would 5 years ago. Well, if this trend of the attack on our food system, whether it's divine, which I think that is involved with it, or just, you know, stupidity of planning, if it gets worse 5 years from now, that $35 a gallon of olive oil could cost, you know, $100. And so, again, the encouragement to go down and you know, think about those things today, write down a list. So a couple of things I had written down. You know, one of the things we all need is water, and the ability to secure pure water. What happens, again, if the water supply comes under attack, or as in California, you have a drought where the access to water is limited? We know many states today are regulating how much rainwater you can collect. People are being put in jail or fined for collecting rainwater. So what do you do when your family's thirsty or you need water? You know, a pre-planning now prevents possible, you know, suffering in the future. You know, for somebody living on the ocean, we don't realize a solar distillation, it's very easy to make a solar distiller. All you need is a thing to put the salt water in, a jar, a gallon jar, and a coil of copper. And you can actually put that out in the sun, and you get two byproducts from that. You would get the pure, clean water, and you would get the salt left behind. Now, people pay big money. We sell a product called Celtic Sea Salt, and you pay big money for that because that's an organic, natural salt that's recognized as, you know, one of the best salts in the world. But you can make it yourself. So if you're living on an ocean, and you know, that's just an imaginable source of water, we're building a solar distiller, which you can go on YouTube and type in solar distillation, and there's lots of very simple, easy projects you can put together to make your own water distillation product process. So keep that in mind. There's a myriad of water filters out there. If you don't have a water filter, I would strongly recommend going and finding a good water filter. I mean, from A to Z. I mean, we like Berkey, but you can go to Walmart and buy the brand X that they have there. But secure a water filter. And a lot of things people don't think about are like, you can add bleach to water and purify it. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, Pool Shock is a product that you can go and buy for like $5 or $6. You can get a pound of Pool Shock, and it's basically somewhere between 68% and 73% sodium or calcium hypochlorite. You can use that to purify water. So for $5, you can buy enough Pool Shock to treat 10,000 gallons of water. $5. There's actually a lot of stuff on YouTube where you can type it in using Pool Shock for treating water, but the basic rule is you want to make a precursor solution. Use 1 tablespoon of Pool Shock, and you put it in a gallon of water, shake it up real good, and then you would dilute that 100 to 1. So if you were making if you had 100 ounces of water, you'd add 1 ounce of that precursor solution into that, and you can sterilize it. Right now you have that ability. We don't know what in the future, you know, whether you have that ability. So again, you know, what does the water mean for your family? What does it mean to be able to go out and get that pond water or dirty water or whatever if water is not available or clean water is not available? that $5 you just invested in that pool shot can make the difference between having to stand in a government line, and we have seen, having been a former resident of the state of Florida, what happens after hurricanes. We were down and, you know, saw what happened after the hurricane down in Homestead, where people waited in hours in line for water. You can look anywhere you have a natural disaster. The first thing people are wanting to do is figure out how to get clean water. So the question is, do you want to go stand in a government line waiting to get your, you know, water, where you have possible a congregation of people who are not in the best mood, people who might be ill, to get your water? Or do you want to have that ability ahead of time to be able to purify or distill water in your home, ready to go, without having to go and stand in a government line being waiting, you know, have somebody hand you out a product? So it's a question people need to think about, because water is the primary thing, you know, we need. You can live quite a few weeks without food, but you can't live, you know, more than 3 or 4 days without water. So that's something I would challenge people to start thinking about right now, to get ready for, because I think, you know, historically, I don't think, and I know it, historically, food and water have been used to control populations.
So. Well, I definitely think we're going to see that, because the trend curve of driving out the private farmer, corporatizing farming, EPA driving farmers out, I think there's no question, you're right, food and water are going to be used as weapons against the American people.
Well, Barack Obama just basically said every bit of every canal, every pond, everything belongs to the U.S. government. I mean, they made that declaration that the pond on your property, the stream on your property, the standing water on your property belongs to the federal government, and they own it. You know, they made that proclamation.
You know, not to turn this into a legal discussion, but it seems to me there's a Fifth Amendment argument against this, because the water you have on your property, it's on your property, it's yours. And if you take the water off someone's property, you've lessened the value. And the legal term for this is called inverse condemnation, where you do something adversely to affect the property value of another, you owe them compensation. I know, Bob, because Senator McCain led a bunch of globalists to try to steal my land without compensation, and my 300 neighbors out here in rural Arizona, and we fought him and we beat him. And I know the law on this, and I don't see how Obama can get away with this, and I don't see why people who aren't being adversely affected by this aren't challenging this in court.
Well, you know, it goes so far, because it does get to the point where it's very expensive to challenge it in court, and they can, and the government, with their almost unlimited resources, can overwhelm the average private citizen. So, you know, I would say if you're collecting rainwater, be quiet about it. Do it. I believe it's your God-given right to, you know, to store this water. But go beyond that. Look at the ability to procure clean, safe drinking water. And those are some of the issues, some of the ways that you can do it. Do it now. Don't wait to when you need to do it. Because it's a term, one of the few terms I have coined. I call it the panic zone. If tomorrow morning you wake up and you turn the faucet on and no water comes out, something has happened. No water comes out of that faucet. 99% of Americans would instantly be in a panic. Oh my gosh, I can't shower, I can't clean, I can't bathe, I can't drink, I can't do that. But the person who might have 100 gallons of water stored all of a sudden says, yeah, this is really bad, but for the next few weeks I can take care of myself until I can figure out a solution. I can cleanse the water, I can purify the water. And so that's my thing, is like, whatever the government does, if they come against you, it's going to take time to rectify that. Whereas if you do it now, your supply line just got 2 or 3 weeks long, versus maybe the couple bottles of, you know, plastic bottles that you have in your refrigerator that you've bought. That's your supply line. Make your supply line longer. You know, none of us have unlimited resources, but we can all probably go and think of ways to store or to buy purification methods that are inexpensive. The distillation is very, very simple. I mean, it's an age-old process, almost any American can do this. And so, if that happens, you have the ability to say the panic zone has been pushed out 2 to 3 weeks. So I would encourage people to think along those lines. What can I do? What can I do to push that panic zone away and keep it a couple weeks? Because it allows you to think clearly rather than thinking in emergency mode. So water is one of them. The other thing is, I mean, you know, we see emerging diseases all the time. New things, MERS are breaking out. The threat of possibly this avian flu going human to human. We see drug-resistant strains of tuberculosis in our country. We've been threatened with Ebola. You know, again, that same pool shock that you buy for $5, you can make your own bleach. My wife has actually made bleach with it that she uses to wash her clothes. I mean, it's the same stuff. And so you can make disinfectants up so that, you know, should this happen, you have the ability to sterilize your room or clothing or, you know, whatever. You know, we make it a very much of a habit to carry disinfectant wipes because the two of the dirtiest things that you can go to are shopping carts, you know, the ones you go to the store and buy because there's little babies sitting in those things and little babies have diapers on and sometimes they, you know, put their hands where it doesn't belong and then touch the handle. So we make it an effort to carry disinfectant with us wherever we go and disinfect those handles. The bottom of a woman's purse is, because she sits on the ground so much, can be very, very dirty. So again, if you needed to, this in the medical field, you know, being able to supply disinfectants as we see these emerging diseases coming to the United States, and I don't think the Ebola or something like it is over with yet. I do think we're going to see more of this coming. And again, I mentioned earlier in the program, burns. How would you treat a burn? You know, they can be quite serious if you don't treat them. We have medical modern facilities now. We can go and get a burn treated. But what happens if the medical supplies were not available or you had to compromise yourself in some way, you know, with some government agency, do something to perform for them, for them to give you medical service? Do you have the ability to treat a burn? My you know, when Roxanne was on, she mentioned lavender oil. David, the real point, I was splitting wood with my log splitter for, you know, wood-burning stove, and I actually leaned on the muffler of the log splitter when the engine was running, and it put a quarter-sized blister right up on my hand. Very, very painful. Anybody who's ever had one of those knows how painful those can be. Well, you know, lavender oil today is something that you can buy. Mountain Rose Herb, several other companies sell it. And it is amazing when I put that lavender oil on my hand how quickly that pain subsided. I mean, they say it's actually better for burn pain than morphine is. And if morphine's any better than that, it would be hard to beat because when I put that lavender oil on that big old blister that came up in my hand, the pain just went away, completely away. And so people need to be looking at what they need to do for medical and putting things in their medical supply more than just the boo-boo and Band-Aid thing. You know, there's plenty of companies that online that sell fish antibiotics, and that's always a big question of what do I do for antibiotics. I've had many doctors tell me that fish antibiotics are the same things that they sell for humans. So, I mean, there's a wide spectrum of those available. I'm not telling anybody to do it. I'm not telling them how to use it. But there are people selling them online right now where you could supply those into your emergency kit that you would have the ability to treat an infection. And I know, I mean, you know, I had a little foot surgery done 4 or 5 years ago and it got infected. And, I mean, it got quite inflamed. It looked very, very bad. It worried me a little bit because it was on my big toe. And swole up and didn't look too good, but I won't go much further with that. But man, the doctor gave me an injection of some kind of antibiotic and boom, it was gone. You know, took it out. You know, 100 years ago, I would have probably lost my foot because of that they would have just said, look at it, it's already going bad. If we don't cut your foot off, it's going to go to your whole body and, you know, you're going to not do well. Again, there's that panic zone. Today you can buy those fish antibiotics and you and I have both read the stories of how drugs are getting harder and harder, even for medical facilities to acquire. And so they're available right now. Skin staples, skin sutures, those are things people need to look at because you do cut yourself and you might need to just close a wound up. Anti-inflammatories, ibuprofen, those things readily available right now. I would recommend getting them. Another thing And I wasn't aware of this until a doctor made it aware to me, because I had a dog, a very, very expensive German Shepherd. He came down with parvo, which is a very deadly dog disease. And basically most dogs that get it that do not receive medical treatment die. And he said this treatment is always also good for people. It's in the book. You can read it in the book, Where There Is No Doctor, which I recommend everyone to get that book. You can go online, Amazon it, Where There Is No Doctor, Where There Is No Dentist, and get it. Now, this might sound a little gross, but it really does work. Rectal rehydration. It's a poor man's IV. And, you know, you can figure it out from there. But we just got Pedialyte, which you can buy right now. Now, if someone loses blood, or for whatever reason starts to go into dehydration, you can actually administer an IV that way, you know, just hot water bottle or an enema, whatever, and you can actually save a life. We saved a life of our $5,000 German Shepherd by doing that, and it works for people. So if you have somebody that's lost blood or whatever, you can administer an IV that way. It's the first thing you do when you go into a hospital and there's anything wrong with you. My daughter-in-law is a nurse. They stick an IV in your arm and they start giving you fluids, rehydration fluids, you know, the salts and the sugars right. that you need.
Well, Bob, again, let me ask you a question here. Do you offer any of these services or products that you've been talking about?
You know, Dave, again, we've talked about this. I really do not want to make this sound like an infomercial. I really want to give people credible information.
Okay, well, just answer this for me.
Yes.
Can we get the skin staples? I think that's something that's another thing I've never thought of.
And again, knowledge is the key. I mean, you can have skin staples, and what do you do with these things? But the two books, Where There Is No Doctor, Where There Is No Dentist. I will say you can download them for free. In PDF form. Excuse me, in PDF form online for free. But I always like to have paper. Because if the internet goes down and you can't print that out, then, you know, it's nice you can read it on your computer now, but you might not be able to read it on your computer when something else happens. But Where There Is No Doctor, Where There Is No Dentist, these books have sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and there's a reason, because it's basically ditch medicine. What do you do when medical facilities or modern medical technology is not available? Third world medicine. And you can read all about rectal rehydration, or Google it, rectal IV, online, but it's in the books Where There Is No Doctor, Where There Is No Dentist. You know, the Dr. Doom and Bloom, I mean, he offers great information on his website of a myriad of medical issues. So just some of the things to think about. But yes, we do offer them. You know, one thing I didn't realize when I was talking to a trauma surgeon that came out of Iraq, you know, the 4x4 bandages, a gunshot wound, they can go through 1,000 of those. I didn't realize that. I thought, wow, I got 1,000, you know, 4x4 bandages. I've got a lot. They said one gunshot wound, they can use 1,000. So, you know, if you do not have the ability to get those, then you're going to be using rags and other things you look around. And they might not be sterile, so you might be introducing infection into a wound. You know, none of us wants to think they were gunshot, but I mean, a knife, I mean, we might be using an axe to split wood. We might be using a knife and cut ourselves. And you really want to treat those wounds very, very seriously in a situation where medical services are not available. It is so easy to take it for, you know, granted. One of the things, Dave, I am always amazed at is gasoline. Just this last weekend, a friend and I went out to the woods. We had cut down a big oak tree earlier. And I had a tractor. I had a log splitter, and I had a chainsaw, all driven by gasoline. With maybe $10 worth of gasoline, I stocked enough firewood for him and I probably to last 3 months into next winter. If we had to do that without gasoline, that would have been at least a month project, splitting it by hand, buck sawing it, you know, setting it up on a saw buck and sawing it into pieces that you could cut, and then splitting it, and then having to have somehow get it the 100, 200, 300 yards away from home to where I could get it near my fireplace to burn. Again, would you have access to gasoline? Now, this is one thing. If people want to store gasoline, they have to realize there are fire codes, And if you're going to store gasoline, first of all, you want to store it in military-type containers because they do not vent, meaning the butane and the explosive fumes do not accumulate outside the tank. They stay inside the tank. Military gas cans are like that. You can find them online. They're pressure-proof so that they hold the pressure of the gas inside because as atmospheric pressure changes, you know, the gas will vent out, and you can create quite an explosive situation in a garage if you were to store gasoline. And fire marshals would not like that much. So, first of all, you want to check with your local fire marshal. Is the legal limit of gasoline that you can store in your garage? And there are laws and limits to what you can do there. But on top of that, you want to make sure you store it in a container that does not allow for the gasoline to vent out, like the, you know, little red containers we normally carry that have a little pressure equalization thing you pop off and then pour the gas out. Those are extremely dangerous if you accumulate many of those in an enclosed area. You're gonna eventually blow something up and burn your neighborhood down, and probably neighbors wouldn't like it that much. So just that gasoline, every time I use it for those kind of purposes, I'm just amazed at it. Being an 18th century reenactor, the force multiplier that offers me, that I can stockpile enough firewood to heat my home all winter, that my friend and I can come over and just, you know, maybe in a couple weekends, store. Should my access to those force multipliers, gasoline, be restricted? You know, I'm going to have to go back to the old method of way of doing it, and that goes back to the medical injuries. How many people have been injured with axes and splitters? How many people aren't even prepared? I mean, you start swinging an axe, you start swinging a log splitter, I mean a maul to split wood, your hands, if you're not used to it, are going to blister up like you will not believe. Gloves. How many of us have those extra gloves available so that we can protect ourselves? Or if you're using a chainsaw chaps that you protect your legs, because I can tell you, the amount of injuries in the 18th century from axes and those splitters, people would, I mean, you know, you'd miss one time and hit your leg with a log splitter, I mean, you know, maul or axe, and it was catastrophic. So just things to think about on the medical area.
Well, Bob, we're going to run out of time here, so I do want, you're being too modest about your product line, because I've been on your website many times, and you offer so much. So let's tell the listening audience how they can visit you and what they should look for.
Well, again, you know, we are available for call. We just added a new feature to our website, you chat. Now, I'm the only one available tonight, so if somebody wants to chat, be patient. I'll get to you. But you can actually click the chat button, and I'll be glad to help you out after the program, any questions you have. My website is ready-made resources, standard spelling, ready-made resources, all one word, .com.
Okay. On that note, Bob, we got to scoot. We're running the top of the hour break. We are going to, or I am going to, run an ad for your site. We come back after the break. You're going to have lots of visitors tonight. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
We'll see everybody back here in hour number two.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.